cool. So this would be really quick, then maybe we can follow up
after. Okay.
Sure.
So, because it might just start in the middle of our conversation. Just say who you are and where we are. In whatever way you want to address that. It could be fake names.
Okay. Oh, I can give my real name. My real name is Brenna Cussin Anglada. We're here at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve Center.
My name is Eric Anglada. We are coming up from Cuba City, Wisconsin. We live at the St. Isidore Catholic Worker Farm, which is a communal organic farm, and we are activists and farmers.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And so the first question, as I was trying to intro earlier, is basically just like, what drew you to this thing? And like, what was it that, like, you saw some messaging online, or what did you, how'd you get here?
Yeah, a friend of ours, a friendly acquaintance of ours, Evan Larson, who's a professor at University of Wisconsin Plantville, knew that we would be interested and forwarded us the information. I think he found out because he was a professor and...
he knows Sarah, I think, so...
Okay, so he knew we'd be interested for... We've been the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, Eric and I have been making a pretty special effort to understand the history of the Native history in this area and the process of settler colonialism and understanding our own responsibility. We're both coming from settler immigrant backgrounds. We've been trying to learn what we can about what is our responsibility to repair, to begin, to plug in, begin whatever, the process of repairing the relationship, repairing the harm that's been done on this land. So it's taken us,
it's amazing how hard that is to learn. So this is a really great opportunity for us to learn in a very special way. So.
I'm going to ask a naive question that's going to make it sound like I haven't been involved in this whole thing for 4 weeks, but why do you want to do that? Like, why is that important to you?
The basic answer.
Sorry. Do you mind waiting?
Sure. Well, wait. Good. That gives me a chance to think about it.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of good reasons. Damn. So that's why I hate asking that question. That is an incredible sound. You have no idea how loud that's going to be on here. It's like a perfect range for, like, piercing.
This is a test. Over the radio.
It's made to be obnoxious.
No one will get run over, though. That's the idea.
He's going to do it again. Nope, he's not. Maybe the engine would be nice if he turned it off. Just to verify, he's not going to back up. I think we're okay.
Yeah.
Let me get us back into it after that amazingly awkward pause. What I was just asking is, like, that's a really amazing motivation, of course, and I understand why anybody would do that, but why you, and how did you get to that kind of sort of thinking?
You want to start?
We are committed to working for justice and trying to transform ourselves and society, and we feel like the roots sin, as it were, of our country is the indigenous genocide. And so we feel like in order to build justice moving forward, we need to deal with historic wrongs and learn about what those are and then see how we can make those right. And we also feel like it's a critical and amid our ecological crisis to be listening in particular to indigenous voices who have lived well for millennia on this very land. So
yeah, we're part of a movement called the Catholic Worker Movement. It's a network of intentional communities, maybe about 200 or so worldwide, mostly in the United States, but there's a few in Germany actually. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic Worker, it's been around over 80 years. It's an anarchist movement, but it's been committed to issues of justice and peace, and in the last maybe 5 or 10 years, kind of along with the wider white society in the United States, it's been pointed out to us that we're a largely white movement, and we've been mostly ignoring issues of race. So it's also kind of a shift in our movement to try to understand our white privilege and how that stems from white supremacy. And yeah, that's been a part of our trying to deepen our understanding.
Super important. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that maybe is interesting about this, the question about why Germany's here, so to speak, and it's like, it's also interesting the way you said that about like the developing of different kinds of, say, like mentalities or like layers of this kind of, you know, deep history and, I don't know, responsibilities and stuff like that. And I wonder if there's anything about the particular moment in American, like, did that shift happen because of some political shift in the U.S. and it feeling more urgent, or is it just something that builds slowly and you then realize that there's also this layer, you know, there's also this layer? There's something going on right now. I think this might be why Germany's here, is what I mean. Like, there's a certain moment of American crisis.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Standing Rock was a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we were getting into it
a little bit before, and so we were able to go to Standing Rock very briefly. And
I mean, I was part of it. There was, for the last maybe decade or two, a lot of, you know, U.S. white activists were, and activists of people of color, activists of color were traveling to Palestine, supporting the justice work there, and I was one of those people. And then a Jewish Israeli friend of mine kind of helped me turn the spotlight back on myself this was maybe in 2004, and said, I mean, he was gentle about it, but he's like, how can you be here when, like, your country is doing the very exact same thing? Like, you're a settler on indigenous land. What have you done about that? And I was very defensive and thought he didn't know. Well, I was just thinking, well, that was a long time ago. I can actually do something about what's going on in Palestine. What happened in my country is, like, done. We already killed everybody. And sort of that was my really ignorant attitude. But it started a challenge for me to try to start learning more. And I got to travel with the Christian Peacemaker teams back in, I think, 2013, maybe, up to Kenora, Canada, where they have delegations learning from Anishinaabe resistance to logging loggers destroying their land. And so I don't know this. Yeah, I think there's been lots of pieces for lots of people. But I don't know. It does seem like there's a shift in at least white communities, white society in the United States to actually start paying attention to these issues in the last several years. I don't know exactly.
A kind of need to self-heal before, like, sort of solving. I met the people up in Canada are my people, by the way. I was involved with that group as well.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I'm originally from Windsor near Detroit, and we did all this work around the Chemical Valley there.
Okay.
And then I met some of these people because it was they were training people to do different resistance work, and super fascinating. It's a really, really long history. Actually, the beginning of Greenpeace starts there as well.
There's a sort of
weird link to the Save the Whales movement in the 60s and this particular style of activism that Greenpeace kind of pioneered of blockades. So just quickly to say, this is fascinating to me, the Christian, what's the name?
Peacemaker teams.
Yeah.
So how does this relate for you to your faith, or do you have a faith, or is this just a way of activating yourselves, or?
Yeah, we're Christians, we're Catholics, and the Catholic Church has certainly been a part of a destructive influence historically in this country, but not always. And so for us, that's particular to our faith is also making reparations and amends for what our own tradition has been a part of, and kind of reversing that process of instead of coming in and wanting to dominate and control and teach, to instead come and listen and come in a posture of humility and wanting to learn.
Beautiful, yeah. Probably what missionaries should be like, right?
Yeah.
Probably half of them were.
Probably a lot less than
that.
I think the very
Ivan Illich, and that's it.
I've heard we've
read some from some Native communities, the very early Jesuits, a lot of them did try to enculturate and just learn from, but as settlement, that changed pretty quickly. That changed pretty quickly, pretty early on. I think very early there was a little bit of that, but it stopped, and it was ridiculous. It was just awful.
But I hate to cut this off. I want to give Bill some tobacco before we get started. And,
okay.
And in gratitude for...
Is he here?
Yeah, he's right over there.
Cool. Do you want to do that right
yeah.
now? Okay.
Just